modes of material nature. Guna atmake. And that which is the source of all such qualities. Bhuta, with all the gross material elements. Indriya, with the senses. Artha, with the sense objects. Ashaya, with mind, intelligence, and false ego. Jiva yuktam, with all the living entities. Translation. Bali Maharaj, along with all the priests, acharyas, and members of the assembly, observed the Supreme Personality of Godhead's universal body, which was full of six opulences. That body contained everything within the universe, including all the gross material elements, the senses, sense objects, the mind, intelligence, and false ego, the various kinds of living entities, and the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate. Krishna is the origin of everything. Vasudeva sarvam iti. Krishna is everything. Matstani sarvabhutani nachaham te shastita. Everything rests in the body of the Lord, yet the Lord is not everywhere. Mayavadi philosophers think that since the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, has become everything, he has no separate existence. Their philosophy is called Advaitabad. Actually, however, their philosophy is not correct. Here, Bali Maharaj was the seer of the Personality of Godhead's universal body, and that body was that which was seen. Thus, there is Dvaitavad. There are always two entities, the seer and the seen. The seer is a part of the whole, but is not equal to the whole. The part of the whole, the seer, is also one with the whole, but since he is but a part, he cannot be the complete whole at any time. This, achintya-bheda-bheda, simultaneous oneness and difference, is the perfect philosophy propounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Om Ajnana Timaram Dushya Gyananjana Shvakaya Chakunamalitam Jena Tarshmai Shri Gurave Namaha Ukam Karoti Bhatchalam Pangulang Ete Garim Yakripata Maham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Giradhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hari Hari Kaye Balistasya Mahavibhute Sahatvig Acharya Sadasya Eta Tadarsya Vishram Triganam Gunatmake Putindriyartha Shaya Jiva Yuktam. Bali Maharaj, along with all the priests, acharyas, members of the assembly, observed the Supreme Personality of Godhead's universal body, which was full of six opulences. That body contained everything within the universe, including all the gross material elements, senses, sense objects, the mind, intelligence, false ego, the various kinds of living entities, the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. Prabhupada starts off this purport, quoting Bhagavad Gita three times in a row, or three different times. In rapid succession, we could say. And as soon as he finishes that, he talks about the Mayavadis, philosophers. So, the Mayavadi philosophers have this general philosophy here called Advaitavad, meaning everything is all basically one. Advaita. Advaita means two. Advaita means one. Sometimes Prabhupada would say, actually, we're actually the Advaitists, and they're the Dvaitists, because they see Maya, but we see Krishna as everything. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also redefined, re-encapsulated this philosophy, the devotional philosophy, because this word here, very often we have Didarsha or Darshan. They saw, so that there was actually somebody seeing something. It wasn't only one. The Mayavad, Shankaracharya, he has put forth some devotional ideas also, but he also was, of course, famous for his impersonal philosophy. And the impersonalists, one of the things, the terms they have is they want to destroy this triputi nashana, it's called. They want to destroy the idea that there is a seer and a seen, and there's knowledge, there's that which is to be known, and there's and the knowledgeable, the knowledge knower. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta would refer to this as drig drisha vichar, because the Vaishnavas, they want darshan, but also the immature devotees, they want darshan. Here we see that the priests are getting darshan, the darsha. This term is used throughout Bhagavatam. Sandashyamasa, in the second canto, throughout various cantos, you find that in the fifth canto, there were the priests also doing a big yajna, and they also had the darshan. We find then, a little later on, that Bali's priests, his associates, they actually were lamenting. So it depends who is getting the, what happens when we get this darshan of the Lord. They were lamenting somehow or other. Bhagavad Gita describes Arjuna has all these prayers when he sees the universal form. He's very enlivened in one way, but he's also described as very upset. I am perturbed. So many times he's saying, I am very perturbed. Finally, after some time, he was begging the Lord, please return to your personal form. He showed him his forearm form. Chatur Bhujena. Still, Arjuna said, no, this, I want to see a Manasham Rupam. Get me back to your the way you were. So they saw this universal form. And it's described even in the beginning of second canto, this in detail, the Virat Rupa. The Virat Rupa, first there's the first steps in God realization. It's important to know all these things. It's not that we're skipping ahead all the time, but we're Singhalokana. We're always glancing back. Bhagavatam is bringing us back. Even if you get to the 12th canto, even in the 11th canto, Krishna talks about the material world. Interestingly enough, also when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was approached many times about this seeing Krishna, they asked Prabhupada, but of course in India in those days there were many and they're much more learned in Shastra. They would say, so Swamiji, you are seeing Krishna, you are seeing Bhagavan, no? And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta would often say, no, you should act, of course, like Krishna will see you. Sometimes he would tell them. One big zamindar approached him, and he leaned up, pretty learned person too, and he said, Swamiji, you're seeing Bhagavan, no? You're seeing. No one else could hear, he said like this. He said, what is the use, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, what is the use if I am seeing, even if I say I'm seeing, what good will it do you? You have to see. Therefore, you have to learn to see through the Shastra, Shastra Chakshus, see the Lord. One of the things that's in the 11th chapter of the Gita, that Krishna tells Arjuna, Dadami, I am giving you. Divyam Dadami Te Chakshu. I am giving you divine eyes. So when one has this attitude, this humble attitude, that I can't see Krishna, then Arjuna was very, he was there with Krishna. Still, he wanted to see this form. He called it a divine form. Divyam Dadami Te Chakshu. And Krishna also, by his power, he was able to show it. Tatrai kastam jagat kritsnam. In one place, just as these acharyas, these ritwiks, these were very fortunate ritwiks. The word ritwik is here. And they're the priests. So they were all able to... I don't want to disturb the Pujari room talking, but so these priests or anybody, when they're humble, they get the darshan of Krishna. Tatrai kastam jagat kritsnam. In one place, you can see everything. In 2nd Kenneth described the mountains and the various things, and it'll go in these few verses also. The knees of the Lord, the bones, and all this. I mean, just even if you go to the Himalayas, you cannot see. What to speak of the entire universe in one place. If anyone's been in the Himalayan mountains, if you walk, you go somehow, I drove in a bus, but the Badrik Ashram, and then you've gone up already. When you get to Badrinath, you've gone up, say, 12,000-13,000 feet. And even then, then you're already there, 12,000 feet, and you look up and you see mountains, you can't see the top. Even from 12,000, you're looking up again, and you look up and you just see, wow, so insignificant. So materially, we can understand how insignificant. If you're an airplane, you can look down and see tiny, tiny little building, huge mountains are very tiny. So we're very insignificant. But these priests and others, like Arjuna, in one place, they could see the entire universe by Krishna's potency. Divi Surya Sahasrasya Bhava Yugapat Utita. In another verse in the 11th chapter, if thousands of suns, imagine one sun, but if thousands of tens of thousands of suns rose in one time, that gives you some idea what Arjuna was seeing. Divi Surya Sahasrasya. Sahasrasya means thousands. Divi Surya Sahasrasya Bhava Yugapat Utita. Bhava Yugapat. Yugapat means at one time if they rose. It's pretty amazing to see one sun rising, but imagine seeing many, thousands. So this is some idea of what's being shown, this darshan. So another main point Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was bringing out in this drishya vichar, drig drishya vichar, that generally it's understood drishya and drig, one is the seer, one is the seen. But we have to understand that we should be seen. Of course, they're getting the darshan, they're seeing. This is one stage. But another stage is to understand that we're the seen. We're insignificant. We should have Krishna see us. He very much stressed on this point. So Prabhupada is also speaking here about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Achintya Bheda Bheda. And Srila Prabhupada considered it very important in the 7th chapter, Adi Lila. This is given. Again, it's given in another detail in the Madhya Lila. We're hearing some excerpts this morning after Mangal Arati. Madhya 20, is it 22 or 20? And Madhya 7, and so many excerpts were there. But especially this Pancha Tattva in Five Features was this book. Prabhupada asked that this book come out before any of the other books in the Chaitanya Charitamrita so that the devotees would get a good handle on this idea. There's considered five important conversations between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and others. And one of them is this conversation with Prakashananda and his many followers. Of course, there's Ramananda Sambad, and there's Sanatana Shiksha and Rupa Goswami. There's other very important parts of Chaitanya. But Prabhupada put this out in 1973, this book came out. Pancha Tattva in Five Features. Pancha Tattva Eka Vastu Nahi Kichubed. Although there are five, Nahi Kichubed, there's no difference between them. This is a chincha. Beda Bed. Bed means difference, and Abed means no difference. They're different and non-different. But just to taste Asvadaya, just to taste the nectar. Even Mahaprabhu wants to become a devotee and taste this nectar. He shows this example like that. As between Gadadhar, we're just hearing about Advaita Acharya, all the loving, amazing, wonderful pastime. We never tire of hearing these pastimes. Somehow they're full of Amrit. Amrit means it's deathless nectar. Just as Arjuna said also in the 10th chapter of Gita, I never tire of hearing it. And the sages in the Bhagavatam, the first keno, vayam tu na vitripya utam. We're never satisfied. Not means that we're doesn't mean that we're not satisfied, we want to hear something else, but we unlimitedly we just want to hear more. Our senses want to interact with this philosophy. We want to hear it again and again. So Bhagavatam is like that. It's unlimited, it's generating unlimited nectar. Prati shloki prati akshara. Every shloka, every syllable is full of nectar. And in this sloka also there's so much nectar. It can be churned. Prabhupada is churning it for us in the beginning here. In this purport. Achintya Bheda Bheda, simultaneous oneness difference is the perfect philosophy propounded by Lord Chaitanya. So before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there were so many acharyas, Vaishnava acharyas, they had various philosophies. Vishishta Dvaita, like that, Dvaita, Dvaita, specific this and that, so many Madhva and Ramanuja. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the essence and gave here, Drig Drishya Vichara. We don't want to destroy. And Lord Chaitanya explained to Prakashananda, Mayavarama Satchastram Pichanam Bodhamuchade, that your philosophy, this Mayavad philosophy, and he quoted from the Puranas, and he quoted so many things, Kalal, famous verse, Kalal Nasht, Vishal, what is it? Anyway, the verses, so many verses he quoted. So he got to Paratma, Jivayor Aikyam. And those Mayavadis, they admitted, actually our philosophy is very dry. The Vaishnava philosophy is full. I mean, if a Vaishnava reads Bhagavatam, he can read again and again. But a Mayavadi, he'll have to interpret it to mean so many things. But the Vaishnava, he's reading these nectarine prayers. If you're an impersonalist, you don't want to offer any prayer to Krishna. You cannot feel any love for Bhagavatam. Sometimes they read it, they become disgusted with their philosophy, and they try to read Bhagavatam, they try to do bhajan. But this bhajan is not much appreciated. Unless one gets to this humble position, insignificant servant, Mother Yasoda, she also saw universal form. She had personal darshan of Krishna. So it's described there, Trayo Panishad Bhishcha Sankhya Yuga Chasatvatai, that Mother Yasoda, she took Krishna on her lap and he sucked her breast. The same person that is being praised and studied by the impersonalists and those study the people who study the Upanishads and Trayo Cha Upanishad Bhishcha, and all the different shastras, Upagiyamana, Harim Samanyatatmaja. And she took him as her own baby. And we hear these various verses, Shutim apare smitim itare bharatamanye bharata, this Raghupati Upadhyaya, he has this one very wonderful prayer, that some people are very afraid and they're studying the Mahabharata, they're studying the Shastra, the Shruti, the Smriti. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm simply meditating on little Krishna, Aham Hiya Nandam Bande Yasyalindi Parambrahma. He's the Parambrahma, he's crawling in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. And when he's crawling, he's full of the mud from the ground. That mud is full of cow dung and urine. And Mother Yasoda's picking him up and fondling him, and Krishna Balaram are grabbing the tails of the calves, and the calves are becoming afraid, having been grabbed, and the boys are also afraid, and the calves are running fast and dragging the little boys. The gopis are watching and enjoying the fun. And they pick them up when they become too afraid, and they again suckle them, the mothers. So the impersonal philosophy that the Mayavadis are putting forth is not very satisfying. So therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his power, we have this word here in this verse, also vibhuti, etam vibhutam yogam cha mama yoveti tatpata, sovikalpena yogena yujate natra sangshaya. This verse is again in the 10th chapter of the Gita, where it's described that one who understands the vibhuti, Krishna is speaking there, my opulences, etam vibhutam yogam cha mama yoveti tattva. He understands that it's coming from me, so vikalpena yogena. Then he engages in activity. So in the beginning, if one is even an impersonalist, and he develops this shanta rati, this taste in awe and reverence by seeing, by reading, finally, someone who's even an impersonalist, he may develop this taste for hearing about the opulence of God. Therefore, in the beginning, it's the first step in God realization is to understand this. And again, these pastimes are given. Great opulence here. Etam vibhutim. So he, a person who is even in awe, it's, there are different descriptions of the Shanta Bhakta, that the Shanta Bhakta, his taste is that he sees the great awe of Krishna, the opulence of Krishna, Aishvarasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, the six opulences. And gradually one, he wants to see the form, the actual form of Krishna, just as Kapila Deva is given the details in the third canto also. And the person who is a yogi, he can develop his love gradually. So throughout Bhagavatam, there's various ways to develop his love of Krishna. It's not that everyone can immediately get to the highest stage, but there's always this gradual, shana shana upramed, gradually, it's said, one gets to this stage where he can relish exactly Krishna's form. But there's so many stages in between, and so these various sages, eight, ham adir hi devanam harshinam chasarvasha. Krishna says also in 10th chapter that name vidu suragana prabhavam, all these demigods and sages, they cannot really understand me because I'm the source of them. They can never understand. So we can, with our mind, a prakrita gochara, we cannot understand that which is beyond this material world very easily. We try to measure it. Actually, the definition of maya, the mayavadis, is that they try to measure. And all the material scientists and philosophers, they're trying to measure either the material world or what they think is God. Anumiyate means they want to measure. Iti maya, this is the definition of maya, that we want to bring God within the fist somehow or other. But we see these great acharyas like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he followed the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and would stand by the Garuda Stamba. He didn't get close in Jagannath temple, he would stand back. And he would say that, yes, if Jagannath decides to glance on me, first, he won't glance on me, but he'll glance on Garuda. Garuda is my guru. And then somehow he may see me also there, taking shelter of my guru, Garuda. So we understand this was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood also. Not that, yes, look at me, I'm so great. He said, so many are rushing up to see Jagannath, but actually, with fleshy eyes, you cannot see Jagannath. You cannot see Krishna. You'll think that Jagannath is just some form of Ramchandra, but with short arms or some wooden form like that. But Mahaprabhu is fainting in front of Jagannath. So this should be our aspiration, to follow these footsteps of Mahaprabhu, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Prabhupada, and always remain humble. And Mahaprabhu gave that example. When he came to see Prakashananda, he was sitting in the area of the footbath. He didn't come in, with 50 servants. No, he sat alone. And those followers of Prakashananda, they said, what's the matter? Why are you sitting there? You lamenting? Or they thought he might be lamenting. Namo Narayana Bhavet. As far as they're concerned, they're all Narayan. You're Narayan, I am Narayan, everybody. We're all Krishna. So Mahaprabhu gave them a good lesson. They wanted to know why you're not studying the Vedanta. He said, no, I'm a fool. Vedanta Adhikar. I don't have the Adhikar. I don't have a right. I'm not in a position to study the Vedanta Sutra. My Guru Maharaj saw me, Tumi, Morka Tumi, Tomar Vedanta. You're actually a fool. We don't know if that, we haven't read that. His guru called him a fool. But he said like that to show that one has to become very humble. But they're very puffed up. Mayavadi means they're puffed up. Or else they must be puffed up. There's no way to rid anyone of his false ego. Ato griha kshetra sutapta bitarjana shamohoyam hamameti. One has to go around in this material world again and again with this idea that he is the controller somehow or other, or that we can equal God or figure out God. This is all Mayavad, and this is how Mayavad translates into the modern age of Kali Yuga. They've all taken their cue from this philosophy to bring within their scope, gocha, avana manasa gochara, Krishna's beyond our mind, vidura, our words, far beyond, cannot be described. He's being described in so many wonderful prayers, of course, but one has to be fit to describe. And Dhruva Maharaj, he was empowered, Prahlad Maharaj, empowered to give those prayers. Brahmaji also, he got the darshan. So we cannot in any way recite or compose such prayers, but the prayers are here for us to take shelter of. Even 11th chapter of Gita, those prayers are very Vetasi Vejam Chaparam Chadama. You are everything that is to be known. You know everything, like that. Pashami Devam Stava Devadehe Sarva, those verses beginning with like Pashami Devam Tava Devadehe. Brahmanam Isham Kamalasanastam, Arjuna was saying, I see all the demigods, they're surrendering to you and they're folded hands and they're rushing into your mouth, just like rivers or moths rushing into a fire. So many nice prayers are there about, and he's seeing the Virat Rupa. This is what these Ritwiks and Bali Maharaj they're seeing. And they're having different reactions. Bali Maharaj was a surrendered person. So his reaction, he was in ecstasy. But Arjuna says there, Stane Rishikesha in Bhagavad Gita, Stane Rishikesha Tava Prakritya Jagahvashat Nanarajateja. My dear Rishikesh, that everyone is hearing your name, the devas, the sadhus, the devotees, and also the demoniac, asuras. But when the asuras hear the name, Rakshanshi Bhitani, the Rakshasha, Rakshanshi Bhitani, Shodra, they become very afraid. They run. They run here and there when they see this. But the devotees are very happy. Hushyat means they're very blissful. They feel very blissful hearing the holy name, your form, seeing the form. So all these things are unfolding again and then again and again. The Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is Krishna. So you can always come back to the Bhagavatam again and again, every moment, and it'll always be ever fresh, new. Even if you think that, oh, I read this recently, then you can see another part. Who can claim? Kastripnayad tirtipadobidam. This, who can become satisfied? Never. Material world was satiated, that means. Not that you're not satisfied, but you can't become satiated. You want more and more Bhagavatam. Hear more and more. Otherwise, we'll be doomed to again and again traverse this material world, samsara. Samsara chakra kadana gasato. There's so many prayers about this world of samsara. But these sages and Bali Maharaj, his priests, they're seeing this universal form of Vamana. We can also somehow get a glimpse through reading this pastime. So, any comments on this? Anybody want to say anything else about this? Any questions?
So, the Lord has multifarious forms. Some are difficult to behold, especially like the universal. We've seen that Arjuna wanted to see it really, but later on he got very afraid because it's unbearable for him. I mean, it's very powerful. Like if millions of suns were to be in the sky at once, that may resemble the form of the Lord. So imagine how powerful that is. And so we can see that Arjuna definitely couldn't bear that. There's a concept there about Ritvik priest. And it's the first time I'm actually hearing it in Bhagavatam, really. But
the fifth canto mentioned several places this word. It's not like a poisonous word. It means the Ritviks are the people who sit around the fire. They're different priests that are under the main priest. So they perform different duties at different Ritviks. Four or five different ones do different activities. Some are pouring ghee, some are reciting mantra, like that. Some are just putting the wood, and there's a one referee priest. They're all considered like Ritviks.
Yeah. So my point is, it seems like it doesn't have a very significant role in our philosophy, you know, because otherwise it would have been in all the pages of Srila Prabhupada's commentary.
Well, when Prabhupada was asked about Ritviks, when he said that someone, well, even before Prabhupada left, even from the early 70s or before, there were certain sannyasis, even not sannyasis, others who were head GBCs or presidents, and they would do a fire yajna for the devotees, and that way they were called, at that time they weren't called Ritviks, but later on in 77, somebody asked Prabhupada. Prabhupada said that so-and-so could initiate while Prabhupada was in his room in Vrindavan. But he was just reiterating what had already been said and done for so many years before, from the late 60s, that these persons could initiate all around the world. And so someone proposed this word because they were more familiar, again, because we were reading Fifth Canto, as a matter of fact, and this person who suggested the word, Tamal Krishna, actually, had a committee and we were studying Fifth Canto. So this word was there, used for these sages, these persons doing the fire yajnas, sacrifices. So he said, oh, they are Ritviks. And Prabhupada said, yes, like that. He said, yes, they're Ritvik. This person who does, if a guru is not present, someone who does something for him, he can be called a Ritvik also. Or you know, so you can interpret that in so many ways also. Anything to say about that? Any other questions, comments?
At one point you were talking about how Maya can be translated as measurement. It's the first time I heard that. Could you talk a little bit more about it?
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he gave one verse, Anomiyate Iti Maya. I forgot. Anomiyate Iti Maya, to measure. The act of measuring. It's another definition. I mean, also we know that there's all kinds of other definitions given by acharyas. Ma, ya, not this. Ma means not, and ya means this. That's one. And Maya means mercy. And then there's all kinds of other detail that come to my mind. My mind's not that sharp. But this is one that I just recently saw. To measure. Can't be measured. Right. That's the idea. Anything? Come on. Anything over here? Okay, glory to Srimad Bhagavatam.